back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. As always, the first rule of Fife Club is...
Whoever you are, wherever you may be, whatever you're doing right now, talk about it. Talk about Fife Club.
Wow. Oofed.
Oh, that was dramatic.
Yeah, that wasn't planned all day, right?
I was going to say, first rule of Fife Club is... When Mark's not here, we talk about him. Let's bitch when Mark's away.
Sounds like a good plan.
Aberdeen, we're having a fantastic game tonight.
I don't know what that means. I've got to say, I do actually have one new rule this week, and it's this. Please, dear good people of Fife, don't leave Fife. It's not worth it. God hates you. At least that's my experience anyway.
Did you have a nice holiday?
Do you want to ask me
no.
that again?
Well, right, when I had this chat last week. When I say, did you have a nice holiday or did you have a nice journey, whatever, go, yes, Max, it was lovely.
Yes, Max, it was lovely.
Or the fraction of that journey that was enjoyable.
Kutch has real existential angst in his eyes.
It was just mental.
Just
how...
stay in Fife. There's nothing outside that's really all that. Actually, no, leave.
It was just mental how all those coincidental things happened, one after the other.
It was what it was.
It was great listening, though.
And after all those coincidences and accidents that happened, you still had to go and stay at Lizzie.
I still had to stay with Lizzie.
Your elaborate plan to, after 7 years, still not go and visit her in Stornoway, did it pay off? You still had to go.
It's very, very true. Although she claims that she was trying to stop us from getting there. I mean, Kirsty did comment that within the first half hour of me and Lizzie being in one another's company, Lizzie had told me to fuck off about six times. It's just like, yeah.
Just before we move on, I don't think I asked you this last week. Did you have any black pudding?
We didn't actually ask.
What? Why would you?
It just didn't happen. And of course, Lizzie's a vegan. Although she didn't talk about it much last week, I'm surprised, because Max was a vegan for a week and that's all we had.
Changed my life.
You'll never go back.
Except I did just eat a whole load of black pudding out the freezer, which I'm pretty sure wasn't vegan. But I always, whenever I go up there, to be fair, it does smell quite badly when you cook it. Mm. So often when I go up, we'll not have black pudding when we're in our house, but we'll buy one of the massive big black puddings to bring home, which costs like 20 quid. Mm-hmm. Like, in Valvona and Crawler in Edinburgh, or you can get them from the co-op for like a fiver in Stornoway. Yeah, they're good.
Aye. No, we didn't. I thought about bringing one home, but then it was just like, we were going to be in a train for like 9 hours.
And, oh, yeah, I suppose.
Public transport for 9 hours. I was just like, nah, let's leave it.
Blasphemy.
Anyway, with me tonight, on their own mics, is a man that was born 32 years and a day ago. The belated birthday boy, it's Jamie.
Hello.
Happy birthday. Do you not want me to sing happy birthday to you?
It's not my birthday.
If you're going
to
do it,
listen
do it like
those sexy, sultry tones that she was doing.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
It's just like Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson.
Near enough.
Anyway, as you can hear,
I was wondering why Max was wearing assless leather chaps.
Especially for your birthday song, Jamie. We'll do all the effort. I cut the assholes out of my favourite leather trousers for you tonight.
Across from him is the new Mark. It's Mags.
What? We did not discuss this.
You have a Mark too.
Yeah.
Mark too. Do I have to be an angry misogynist?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, okay, I'll think up some really horrible things to say about women.
I'm pretty sure you'll excel at it. And finally, here to finally settle his beef with Mags, it's James.
I'm no longer on a desert island. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Can we we talk about our beat? Can we clear the air? I was going to save this for my Fight Club later on, but maybe we should just clear the air right now.
Yeah.
So for listeners who listened to our beer festival episode a couple of weeks ago.
Let's bear in mind that we were all very drunk.
Well, the thing was, first of all, I'd like to point out that I didn't go home because I was drunk. I went home because me and Craig had announced that it was time to leave. We were getting kicked out, and we had to move, and we were the probably least drunk out of everybody, and it took you about 45 minutes to get your jackets together.
About 50.
And leave the room. Well, no, but then we went through the other room, and then you were still listening to the music, and everyone was hanging about, and we just got bored, and Craig wanted pakora, and so we just left and went to Istanbul and went home. And then I heard on the podcast... First of all, you told everybody that we were too drunk and had to go home.
I never said that.
It wasn't true.
How dare you? I never said that.
No. And then James went into a big rant about how I believe, what was it? I dominate the podcast and that it was better that I wasn't there.
I never said it was better that you weren't there. I just said that you've got more presence. That's not a bad thing. That's not offensive whatsoever. You have more of a handle of your podcasting when you're on the show.
In your lever assless chaps, you do a bit like a dominatrix. Hurts your argument a bit.
And I also like to say, in my defence, I did come on singing REM. That wasn't the best start of my opinion. There may have better things to come on to, but singing REM straight into the microphone wasn't the wisest choice. I think that was a good sign where I was not in the right frame of mind for a podcast. And I also complained that I was on a desert island for most of my days.
I think actually what you said is you've never done a Fight Club, which I then went back and checked and I was like, that lying? Shit. I was feeling like really bad about that, but no, you have done Fight Clubs.
I've done a few.
It's just you've been on a desert island for a wee while.
Yeah, I think what we've learned is that James, when he's drunk, is quite precious. Some people get angry. I have to say, I'm a bit of an angry, aggressive drunk. Some people get weepy. James gets precious. So at least we know for next year.
I turn it a sweet 16. By the way, speaking of the beer festival, we never talked about it last week. Did you hear guys, like, you were talking about how we were leaving. Do you guys hear about the guy who got carried off to hospital because he fell forward onto the steps on the way out? But it was about 2 minutes after we left or something like that.
He just fell flat face first onto the steps, falling forward.
Those steps.
He was a casualty at that beer festival. Made the Dunfermline Press, so you know it's a big deal.
Oh, I didn't see that.
This is the same paper when there's a fire, I'll message and go, "Here, guys, do you know there's a fire in town? What's that all about?" So you're the journalist, you should find out yourself.
Find out.
Dunfermline's not a city, get over it, Dunfermline. And you didn't back my bring back 3D Saturn lights as well, even though it did win the 3D Saturn Christmas lights, so fuck you, Dunfermline Press.
And if the Dunfermline Press would like to sponsor a local podcast, I don't think we've got a hope in hell, unless if they can see the irony in it.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have another come to Jesus moments like Mags here with the Dunfermline Press saying, "Yeah, we like your podcast, but James, what were your thoughts on the Dunfermline Press? What did you say? Something about fires and we can't report them?"
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, so, Jamie. I'll accept your apology, James.
I publicly apologise.
Thank you. Yeah.
For singing REM.
So, Jamie, do you want to give us the socials?
Yes.
Load up.
Please talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/5clubpod or at 5clubpod, Twitter at 5club, email ken at 5club.co.uk, Instagram 5club, or on our website at www.5club.co.uk.
How's the Instagram going? What was the last picture you put on Instagram?
It was probably about 2 episodes ago. I put up the photo for 2 episodes ago and I've not done it for the last two.
Have you put any meals up? That seems to be the normal thing on Instagram. Remember when puts up meals? Or like workout things, like people put like ab photos up and stuff like that? You should do that.
No. I've got a picture of a bin hanging around in the woods in Dulloch.
You should post that up.
That sounds very American Beauty.
It's the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
I actually took a photo of it thinking of, I think it was Kirsty or someone was telling me that apparently kids are putting them in there and setting them on fire.
Well, what they do is...
Topical news story.
They take them into the woods, set them on fire and get high on the fumes.
Well, see, these ones look a bit too robust to do that. Like, you can tell it's been burned but didn't really work. But the wheelie bins are better for that.
Yeah.
So kids, if you want to get it, no. because you do see them as well.
Uncle Jamie's in the woods all the time. Lighter and willy bins.
I might have gone completely off piece taking photos of interesting mushrooms I found. Just like genuinely interesting mushrooms. Like, oh, all these different types of mushrooms because it just rained and they were all out. And then I was like, oh, this bit of forest is far too thick on one side and bog on the other. I can't get out. I'd spent more time than I should have done getting out of the woods.
Remember, kids, he'll be ginger, bearded, and he'll be wearing a questionable trench coat.
And that's all.
Do you make stories on it? I don't have Instagram, I have to admit it. Is this one of the ones you can do a story? Because that just sounds like an Instagram story in the making.
I think you can
Jamie's trip to the woods.
Yeah, I don't really understand Instagram, to be honest.
Is it not Snapchat?
Kind of put photos up and hope.
I don't know, I don't have Snapchat.
I think you can do stories on everything now.
Yeah, I think it's more of a Snapchat and Twitter trying to do moments, but no one ever looks at it. Yeah. So yeah. It's
I don't have Snapchat, but it creeps me out because now you can like find out where people are. It's I don't need to know that. Who really needs to know where everyone is at any one point in time?
Tell you where they are anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Strictly claims that Facebook is a covert operation by the CIA for the gullible to tell them their locations at all times.
Well, my brother thinks that as well. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not got Facebook anymore. He does this as a podcast and says hi.
Hey, hello.
But he doesn't have a Facebook, and I'm pretty sure a lot of it's down to being paranoid about the CIA tracking all his movements.
They'll have a satellite over his head anyway, so it won't matter.
I've got a few friends.
QX Files music.
I've got a few friends that have like given up Facebook because like they just don't like it, but they feel like they've been more sociable without it. Like they've actually went out and done more social things, phoned people. Whereas Facebook, you just put statuses up and then send the odd message here and there.
I use it for work. I've got about 5 different Facebook pages I manage, and I also use the Messenger a lot. But if it wasn't for that, I would totally be happy with it.
I was going to say we have a lot of chats on the go, and they actually entertain me during the day.
Although sometimes, like when you're trying to book a CityLink ticket in a restaurant because you've been warned that if you don't get that ticket for the bus, you won't get the bus.
Because Poseidon's trying to stop your trip.
Four conversations are pinging away on your phone while you're trying to do that.
Calling you a cunt as well.
is that thing where like you've been away from your phone for ages and then there's a very important conversation on the go, but there's been 40-odd messages. So you've got to go all the way back to the beginning where you last remember the chat being and then read through that all.
Oh, I don't read through them. I just actually put it like,
tell
me.
Don't read through them because the amount of times there's important information and you come on and go, so what's happening?
I'm too important to read through all those messages. Just tell me what I need to know.
Like, I've been tempted to do that from time to time. Yeah, look, what's the latest?
Own your social media spaces.
Do you know how infuriating that is?
To be fair, that's because there's like in the official podcast chat, there's little nuggets of information surrounded by tons of really shit banter.
If you want
terrible jokes everywhere.
You need to cut down on the shit banter and the stickers. It went a bit sticker crazy at one point this week as
Kutch introduced us to Rick and Morty stickers that I didn't know existed. So that was
I just found them and was like,
although I am a bit ashamed to say it on the podcast because if you look on the internet, almost all Rick and Morty fans
are arseholes.
Are complete cunts. Yeah. But maybe that's just because we are complete cunts.
Well, I think it's all the Mortys. I mean, I'm a real
I hate you so much. Did you see all that nonsense in America over the Szechuan sauce?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, what was it? There was one guy in McDonald's that stood up on the counter and started screaming, "I am Pickle Rick," put a shirt over his head and started rolling on the floor.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's cartoon mags. It's kind of a ripoff of Back to the Future and Doctor Who. But kind of, as an adult cartoon, and but kids watch it as well. Well, they probably shouldn't. But I used to watch South Park, so whatever. Yeah. But so in one of the episodes, they set up this big thing, sound like it's going to be the future series arc for like the whole thing, and then at the end, he says all that was a lie, and he's like talking to camera, saying my season arc is I want to go back in time to get the Szechuan sauce that McDonald's did for the film Mulan. It was delicious. I can't get any more. But people were buying like old packets of it for thousands of dollars on eBay.
Because of this.
Yeah. So then McDonald's said, oh, we'll do it for one day. But they only had like 15 or 20 portions of a restaurant.
For a restaurant, it wasn't even every restaurant.
Kids crying, and there were loads of adults who should have known better, like screaming at staff.
Yeah,
to get because they wanted their Szechuan sauce. It was fucking nuts, and that's why Rick and Morty fans are awesome. Well, that's one reason.
It was just insanity.
Wow.
It was. Yeah, like the fans are absolute arseholes. And it is this thing that there's the fans that think they're Ricks.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody's a Rick.
No, we're all Martys in this situation.
There's that copypasta, which is really funny, which is something like, to be fair, Rick and you have to have quite a good grasp of physics to get all the jokes in Rick and Morty, you know. He's
yeah, it's like just no.
But it keeps appearing everywhere, it's good.
Oh god.
But it's used now as a joke against these people.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Anyway. So, we're gonna try something a wee bit new this week. We're gonna all bring a wee news story to the table. And Jamie
Jamie didn't read that bit in the chat.
Nope. Right, listeners, what you have to understand is it was my birthday yesterday. I finally went and bought Overwatch. And apart from coming here and Kutch and his lovely wife cooked me some pheasant and duck ragu, other than that, all I've been doing since is slept a bit and played Overwatch solidly. So I only glanced at the chat today, right?
You know what would take this part over the top, though, is like having Trevor McDonald saying, this is the news at whatever time you listen to this. And then the bongs every time.
Yeah.
You guys go first.
Yes. You were meant to come up with a Fife, a local story.
Oh,
yeah,
because
we
can do that.
We covered international and national.
Well,
so,
I guess Jamie telling us about the bins on fire down
there, you go.
Is a local story.
Jamie's covered it.
Story done. So, I totally knew that.
What the idea is we're going to all bring a new story maybe each week and just talk about it for 10 minutes or so or whatever. Just talk about it for a wee bit and then we'll introduce another new story. Kind of what we've been doing, but just try to structure it a little bit more, I think, rather than us just waffling shit for
We're still going to waffle shit.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. So we'll see how it works. It might not. So does anybody want to go first?
You can.
Two can.
No, the only thing is, we're talking about stuff that's news now, but people might not listen to this until
Friday,
a week's thing, a few weeks down the road, and it's not really news.
We're just talking about something.
We're like last week tonight, but better.
Yeah.
Okay.
The John Oliver show.
So,
but better.
You heard Johnny Hollywood.
We're going after him, are we?
Yeah.
No one is safe. That sounded more sinister than I thought it was going to be.
Right. Well, my news, do you want a drum roll? Or does everyone know about the news? Because the news already happened.
Okay, tell us.
My news is that Scotland banned fracking yesterday.
Oscar actually banned it.
We
didn't dance around it this time.
We agreed. Parliament agreed to actually ban it.
Right.
Still need to do the technicalities yet.
Yeah.
But that was pretty good. It was a pretty good day.
Yeah.
People were pretty chuffed about it. Yep.
So why didn't they do that in the first place?
That's a good question, Kutch. Why didn't they do that in the first place? So basically, the Scottish Government announced about a month ago, in fact, it was before recess, so about 3 weeks ago, that they were going to ban fracking, but then didn't say how they were going to ban fracking.
Okay.
So there was generally a cautious welcome. I mean, the SNP were like, "Wow, we've totally done this." And then Labour was like, "Wow, we thought of it first." And then Monica Lennon was like, "Of course it was all my idea all along." But at no point... So when the Scottish Government made their initial announcement, they didn't explain how they were going to do it. So there's a lot of people quite cautious still, wanting a bit more detail, wanting to know. They just said that initially that we were going to extend the moratorium.
Okay.
But by its very nature, a moratorium is a temporary thing. You cannot have... They actually said, it was Paul Wheelhouse's statement, said we shall extend the moratorium indefinitely.
Yeah,
so you can't have an indefinite moratorium. It's like a complete oxymoron. Yeah. So we've been asking.
Felt like that gave them enough wiggle room.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, I think they'd be pushed into announcing it early.
Uh-huh.
Because the Sunday Herald had ran a big article on the Sunday saying, the government's going to ban fracking. And I don't think they were. And so they totally like, shit, we're going to have to do it now. Because the Sunday Herald says we're going to do it. So they announced it, but they didn't really have the detail ready. But Tuesday this week in the Scottish Parliament, the Parliament as a whole agreed to a number of amendments from the Greens and the Lib Dems and Labour, saying that they were going to incorporate the ban into the National Planning Framework and incorporate it into the Energy Strategy and demand transfer of powers over licensing and then use that to properly ban it.
Awesome.
So, and everybody voted for it, including one Tory. Do you want to guess? Let's play Guess the Tory. Guess the Tory. One Tory voted for the fracking ban. Guess the Tory.
Was it Ruth?
No.
It was not Ruth.
No, it wasn't Ruth.
Who was it?
It was Oliver Mundell.
Oh, right, really?
Son of everyone's least favourite, second least favourite Tory after Ruth Davidson. David Mundell.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew that was going to happen. And he abstained for all the amendments, but then voted for the final thing that went through.
I actually think he's a clone of his dad.
They're so similar.
It's a bit freaky.
Oh, he's quite tall.
He's taller than his dad.
Yeah, I've not met his dad, but he's quite tall. And you're like, he's all. Okay, no, I'm not going to say. What was I going to say there?
Okay. Check yourself.
But so he'd said apparently there's one place in his constituency that's at risk of fracking, and he promised his constituents during the election campaign last year that he would support their quest for a fracking ban, and he did. So it's not often I say this, but good on Oliver Mundell for doing the right thing.
Standing up to what he said.
Yeah.
Cool. Can I bring in a short news story which is international and sort of ties into that? Which is about, so a lot of people say we need things like fracking and nuclear or coal for baseload power, for gas, you know, for power. But I was reading a study this week that said I've read two studies, one from Stanford saying it's not true. And with minimal battery storage, grid storage, you could shift everything to electricity because you use 40% less energy than you do if you use coal, because electric engines are much more efficient. So you have to... So you technically use 40% less energy.
Yeah.
And you would only need... Well, you'd need to have a lot of electric cars.
Yeah.
But other than that, you need very little storage, and you can balance out, like, the solar and the wind. So you can shift them about.
And
it's bullshit.
You can also use cars as a form of battery storage.
That's why I was saying you need the electric cars.
So when you've got extra power on the grid, everybody charges their car at that point.
Yeah.
And then they use that...
At night, when you've got an overnight and the wind turbines are going, and it's, you know, it's actually gone a couple of times in the UK to negative energy recently, negative energy prices, because they've been producing so much wind energy. And on some, I think one of the days it was so much solar that it actually, because of a market mechanism we used, the grid were paying people to use electricity.
And this is the ridiculous thing about the argument for fracking in Scotland, was actually we didn't have that much resources. Like, compared to the resources that we had are pretty hard to get to. It would be quite expensive to extract. So it's not like America, where there was ever going to be this massive boom that would, like, make everybody rich. It was always going to be minimal, and it would be really expensive, and a lot of it not cost efficient to take out the ground anyway. So there would just be lots of experimentation, and it would go on for a few years and not produce that many jobs, and then just fizzle out, probably.
And offshore wind is now cheaper than new coal.
Mm-hmm.
New offshore wind is cheaper than new coal. A shitload cheaper than Hinkley's going to be, the nuclear power plant. So, and that's... And they figured out, they thought there was a limit to how big you could build wind turbines. And there is, obviously.
Yeah.
But they thought that would be about, like, 6 meg style ones. But they just installed 8 meg ones. And in the 2020s, we're looking at 10 to 12 meg ones. And they're like bigger, they're bigger rotation things. The ones just now have bigger rotations than the London Eye.
Sitting out in the sea. Yeah.
But they can do it much cheaper than, and they found out when they're bigger, they actually get more energy from, so it makes sense.
Do you know what they've just approved this week? Here's a bit of local news for you. So on the energy theme. So there's a huge open cast, a former open cast mine up by between Billingary and King Lassie. The Westfield site. And they have approved a master plan for that site, which includes a floating solar farm on one of the mines that's just been filled in, which a land-based solar farm, but also a floating.
Is that because it'll be filled with water anyway?
It's already filled with water. That's the thing. So it's already filled with water.
And that helps with cooling and everything like that as well.
Does it? I don't know. I've never seen. I'm fairly sure that's the idea behind it.
Because they've got them in China and India. Big floating ones.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Unfortunately, they also approved, as part of the master plan, a massive big incinerator. And we strongly suspect that all they want to do is build the incinerator, and that the solar farm is never going to happen. So it would be a lovely idea, and we really hope it happens. But I think, unfortunately, we're just going to get the fuck-off incinerator as part of that.
Just going to burn shit.
Yeah, it's like, good news, bad week.
The local spot of air quality had improved with the mine closing.
Yeah. We're going to bring in all the rubbish from other parts of Fife and burn it.
Fair dues. Well, I've got a little bit of a story this week, which I found today, and I've got... It's interesting, and I've got some sort of, like, issues with it. So, there was a woman who booked a flight to Crete with Jet 2. £46 flight cost her. Nice. Really cheap. Turns out that it was the end of their season, their last flight to Crete for the season.
Right.
She got to the checkout, check-in even. And yeah, she was like, it's awful quiet. There doesn't seem to be a lot of people about. So she asked, and they were like, oh, there was 10 people due to go on this flight. She was like, oh, that's not a lot. She was like, yeah, it's now down to 4. And she was like, oh, okay. And then by the time she got on the flight, the other 3 people didn't turn up. So she was the only person on the flight on this huge plane and got one-on-one, like, personal service from the 4 members of staff on the plane and the co-pilot and pilot. The pilot came out and sat with her for about 20 minutes and had a wee chat about what was going to happen, and then went through, and then all the announcements was directed directly to her. They were all best pals by the time they ended the flight.
So essentially, she's paid £46 for first class service.
Yeah. Well, I'd say VIP.
Yeah, private jet.
Private jet. Yeah.
That's just bizarre. And was this, can I ask, was this Edinburgh Airport?
It was Glasgow.
It was Glasgow. Well, they're all the same, aren't they? But they're claiming, the airport industry claims that they've never been busier and there's all this desperate need for all this extra flight capacity in Scotland. And it doesn't sound like there's extra capacity to Crete anyway.
Well, this...
Clearly no one's going.
What one of my things is, could they not have just stuck her on another flight?
Yeah.
Or... like done something else with the plane, but this is the thing: so it was the last flight out, but it was also the last flight back. So that plane needed to come back from Crete, and apparently it was absolutely rammed because everybody was coming back from their holiday.
How did she get back?
So she's gone out, and she's out there for a writer, so she's gone out for a couple of months. It's that sort of, like, it's like all that fuel, all that, like, those 6 people that have had to, you know, entertain her, basically. It just feels like a massive waste.
But they do this a lot. Like, honestly, they fly empty flights around the country because planes they need to be, it's like trains, you know, like they need to be in some places at certain times. And if there's ever a delay or there's a breakdown or there's, you know, problems at the airport or whatever, and it puts them off a schedule, they need to get the flight to the right place to go.
Yeah.
And there's often, like, they don't carry people. Like, they just go empty. So.
And it is. And I get part of how that works and why that works. But it's also one of these things where the system, fucking capitalism, just... You know, it's that economy where it still has to fly, even though it's technically making no money on that flight.
But I suppose the argument is that flight is going to pick up people in Crete and come back ramped.
Which is, they've made the money back again, or they're making enough money to...
It's balanced out enough.
It is, I think it's more the sort of the ecological and just the waste of time and energy and... That's kind of what I sat reading it, like, that's kind of cool. And then it was like, but it feels there's just... It's like the whole thing how I was saying to somebody at my work, kind of on the back of that, is, you know, the idea that at the moment, for most of the automotive industry, to make a car, they have to make three, to sell a car, they have to make 3 cars.
Why?
Because of the scale, basically. They have to be able to make 3 cars to then be able to sell one. So there are massive car parks, like in Germany and the likes, which have cars just sitting, not being sold.
I don't understand that.
Because it's the amount it costs for the materials to then sell on one car.
But why not just sell the other 2 cars?
Yeah.
It's mental. Yeah. But they can't sell them because they can't sell enough cars.
But they've made 2 fully working cars.
What?
But that's because they've had to do that to be able to sell that one car at that one price. It's mental.
But that makes no sense because you've got two more cars. Yeah, you can make more money.
It's economies of scale as well.
But then you get
to start making more, it gets cheaper to make the next one.
Yeah, so you're making them in such.
So they're making more cars than they actually need to. It's not so much that for every car you sell, you need to make two more. No, it's that they're making three times the amount of cars that they need.
For every one car that's sold, three cars are being made. And it's mental.
That's pretty bananas.
Yeah, but there's so many examples of that where it's essentially the capitalism failing. Mm. Like it just doesn't, because it all comes down to the money of it and the that size of your economy of scale that you're having to make more than what is actually required to then set. It's just mental. There was another good example I think on the Bugle page today of the plastic coins.
That's Humans of Late Capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fantastic page. It was fantastic.
It was a bag of 100 plastic coins so your kids can learn how
pennies.
To
use pennies.
Pennies. So your kids can learn to use money, which is kind of dystopian.
It was like $1.
But it's good for accounting, though. Yeah, no, like, we all had that.
It's 100 pennies, which would be £1.
Yeah.
And it was selling for £3.50.
Just get the pennies!
But then it was like, breaking it down, it's like, I think it was dollars and cents, and it's like, it costs 1.5 cents to make a cent.
One to two peas have negative value.
So you're something that costs more to make something that you're going to use to spend on something that is more than. Yeah. It's just like the levels of.
That's a mug's business. That's just a mug's business.
Humans of Late Capitalism is a fantastic page.
Uh-huh. Like, it's one thing to have people dumb enough to pay over the odds for something they could just get for that £1, but then you're spending more than that £1 to make a pound's worth.
Aye.
It's just, why?
Do you know, I think we should get rid of ones and two p's though. Like a lot of other countries don't. Like you don't in New Zealand, you don't get ones and 2 cents anymore. The smallest coin that you get in New Zealand is 5 cents. Yeah, and they round, but they still sell things like $1.99. But then you actually pay £2 for it.
A lot of shops.
$2 for it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so they round up or they round down.
But there's a lot of stores now here which don't sell things for less than a rounded number. But even I think some of the supermarkets don't do it as well. They sell to
I think we should get rid of it.
I don't know, there's a little satisfaction about taking a full copper jar to like a Coinstar machine and just emptying that some bitch out and finding out how much you got. And it's there's that little bit of I've got a tenner. I mean, it's not that great amount of money, but still, there's that moment going, oof.
The Coinstar machines take a bit off.
They take it to the bank. They take 10 pence out of every pound.
We did that when we moved house. Craig had a massive jar of coppers, and we went, and there was like 16 quid in it. And then we spent it all on beers for moving house with. So it was like, once we move all the stuff into the house, then we can drink the beers from the copper jar. Nice. And those beers tasted bloody sweet.
I don't know if you guys are, my granddad used to have a massive, like a giant, famous Grouse bottle with a hole at the top.
Yeah, we used to have a Bell's.
Oh my God. I think it was a Bell's actually. Bottle. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was. I
it's
think
like
it was Grouse.
A 5 litre Bell's bottle.
It's massive. Yeah. And then they just filled that with pennies. I mean, it weighed a half ton.
They used to have in the pubs. They used to have just them sitting on optics. I had a huge, like, 5 litre bottle of whiskey.
Like it was the height of. The table here. That's what you get. They're amazing, and they would just fill that with like pennies and stuff.
You would end up with like about £100 in one of those.
Yeah, and then a broken back when you try to lift it.
So to sum up, abolish money. Good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
James, do you have some news for us?
Yeah, mine's is not as funny to talk about, unfortunately. It's quite good that Mags is here because it's quite good to get a woman's opinion on the matter. But a couple of weeks ago, there was that Harvey Weinstein scandal. There was a lot of allegations coming out about sexual harassment, sexual abuse, around kind of auditions and how he treated female colleagues and all the works. I think a lot of us know everything about that. It's quite a deep issue. It's come out. I feel like it's about time, in a sense, something like this come out. There's a lot of kind of allegations about what he's done. Some of the stuff he has done is terrible. You can't. It's such a hard topic to talk about, in a sense. I don't know where I brought it up.
I think importantly, going further forward, after James said there was a sexual assault thing from Harvey Weinstein, I laughed audibly And that was because Kutch's cat jumped on the floor with zero grace and made a loud noise. So I wasn't laughing at sexual assault.
No, the cat fears Weinstein. Yeah. It's okay. But it's quite horrible, some of the stuff he's come out with, like the infamous stuff. Like he's coming out in like a bathrobe, wearing nothing else, pleasuring himself during auditions in front of women.
Yeah.
The one that really turned my stomach was the
one with the plant.
The plant pot in the corridor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They like cornered a woman in a corridor of a hotel. Uh-huh. And like, it was like cornered her and then like wanked into a plant pot. Like there was like in the corner of there was a plant in the plant pot. It wasn't just like an empty plant pot for wanking into it. But yeah, in a public place.
It's truly.
Like,
he's a bad person. Like there was that video that came out. I didn't watch it, but I listened to a podcast who watched it, and it was a bit where he's talking to like a female actress or a friend anyway, and she's like, "I'm going to spend like 2 minutes with your friend, and you just stay here, don't say a word, don't talk about it." I was like, and she was the whole time, she's like, "I'm not comfortable, I don't like this, like I just don't want to do this, I want to go." It's like, "No, you just stay here, now you're embarrassing me, now you don't want to embarrass me in front of these people, you got to be," and just the rhetoric like that, just like, "Don't embarrass me, just stay there, it's going to be 2 minutes, you'll be fine, stop doing that." Just really kind of weird things he's saying, just to kind of put her down. Like it doesn't sound like saying you shut up, do this. It's just her, simple instructions, like just stay here.
Coercion. Yeah.
That's so it. It's just really coercive, and it's.
I mean, the thing that really bothered me about this story is that he is so powerful in the industry and so rich and so wealthy, and yet clearly a despicable person.
Yeah,
and he's. For like decades now, he's like held in his palm the future of so many women and their careers, and whether they've wanked him off or not has been enough for him to decide whether these women are going to be famous and rich. And it's hard to think of any other capacity where such a horrible person can reach that level. No, of course, because Donald Trump's in the White House. So. But yeah, I think it just. I was involved in a debate at the weekend talking about meritocracy and that actually, you know, having targets in politics and things like that isn't good for women because people aren't there on merit. And it's just like, well, actually, very few people get to these huge positions of power on the basis of merit. They get there on abuses of power. And this just, it's just disgusting.
Here's kind of messed up things. Imagine, like, years ago, you're a female actor and this has happened to you. And you have hardcore evidence, this is proof that this has happened. You can tell this to the press, go to your family, everyone like that. Your career would probably end because of him.
So and it you would go, be buried.
And
be
buried as well, so you're fucked. And you can't do anything about that. And I think that's the worst part of this whole thing. Yeah. It's been actively swept under the rug. It's almost like the Jimmy Savile thing in a weird way, isn't it?
It's been very interesting to watch it unfold because it's obviously not just him as well. There's been stories of others. There's others that we even know about where it's suddenly like, oh yeah, that's actually now a problem.
Mm.
I mean, you're looking at things like Woody Allen and Roman Polanski. Mm.
Those two have been kind of well documented.
They've been well documented, but never been acted on. Properly vilified. Like,
well, Roman Polanski's a little bit different because he left the country. He fled the country and then they couldn't prosecute him. So that's why he's not come back to America for a long time.
Do you know what pissed me off about the whole thing this week? Was George Clooney came out and said, I want to know why, you know, there were other people involved in this, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, and there's journalists who had stories on this, and I want to know why they sat on them. And that's because, allegedly, one of the journalists who wrote for the New York Times at the time, she said that Matt Damon, allegedly, intervened directly to squash the story.
Yeah.
And also, so she printed the story, but without the most salacious Harvey Weinstein elements.
Yeah,
so also, that's why, because your mates fucking...
And also, when you've got someone with such incredible wealth and power as Harvey Weinstein, you're going to be pretty shit scared about getting sued, aren't you? Yeah. You're going to to be absolutely, without a doubt, confident that what you're writing is correct.
Yeah.
And when you've got like other powerful people coming saying, you don't want to write that, maybe not, and stuff like that, you can understand why you might be hesitant.
It was
as a
like the Ben Affleck
and their companies
well.
Have a lot of advertising with these, you know, things
exactly.
as well. So
it's like Ben Affleck as well. He came out and obviously made his statement how he thought, you know, it was atrocious and he didn't know about it. And then, right on the back of it, within like minutes that was all thrown up in the air.
Bollocks,
and it's that sort of thing of like, I don't think really anybody should be trying to say any of the men in Hollywood, any of the men in the media should be trying to say anything on it, really. Is that it should it is
Yeah.
I think the classic sort of thing that's come out of this is, yeah, it's not your turn to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Shut up, listen, be humbled.
Yeah. It's kind of sad how the industry's sort of got to that degree where to become famous or to get good roles and parts, especially in Hollywood, you've got to put up with that in a sense. You can't fight the system, you've just got to let it happen.
I think that's long been that way. There was a book recently about Charlie Chaplin. Yeah.
Yeah. Made similar claims that he'd come like, it's, I'm sorry, but it's a, I found it a bit funny when I was reading it, but yeah, he'd be like completely naked and like throw cakes at girls or something. It was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But they had to get naked as well. It's just like, oh,
but it's just the fact that it has to get to that point in the first place is my issue. It's like, why do we even need that? What's the gain for anyone apart from that? You're just abusing your power. You're just...
It turns him on and it makes him feel powerful.
That's it.
It's the patriarchy. That's what this is all about.
It is. Yeah, it's years of... That's been the thing.
Then getting off on power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's this is just the tip of the iceberg, as you said. There's lots of other people. Like James Toback just got pulled up for 38 women accusations. Corey Feldman was talking a lot about paedophilia in the industry. So there was the whole thing with Corey Heim.
I mean, that's the thing as well, is that it does feel very much like the U-tree moment in Hollywood. And There's been a lot of similarities to the stuff that's going on, and well, you know, if it all comes out and it makes for a better, cleaner Hollywood, fair Hollywood, then great.
I hope so.
But the worry is that it's big news just now, and then
how long before it gets dies out?
Carpet and that's that. You know,
Well, Weinstein was kicked out of the Academy as well, so that'll be interesting.
But then it's like, well, okay, Weinstein's been kicked out of the Academy.
Who else?
How many more of the people that have chosen to kick him out should be kicked out too.
Like, I wonder how many will look at the books and just be like, oh, we're kind of losing how much? Yeah. Yeah, keep those guys in. That's kind of a sad thing. And it happens locally as well. Like, it worries me, like, that's the sort of industry now where people want to try that sort of thing. Like, for me, we were having this chat about this a while ago, and me and Fred were talking about, like, if you would sleep with a director or something to get a job, and I said no. Like, I don't, like, for me, I'm quite a purist and I'm a bit of an old man like that. It's like, you know what, I'd want to get a role because I'm good enough and I've worked hard, I've done it the right way, whereas like sleeping around or get put into that situation, I'd feel coerced, I'd feel like I haven't really earned that. And you know what, like, if that happened to me and I knew that was me coerced to put in a bad situation, I could go speak out about that, I could be done. That they could just put a spin on it and say, look, he's lying, this is what's happening, he's done this, he's done that. It would just ruin me, and it's not worth it. But the scary thing is, it works in so many levels. I won't name names, but I've got a friend of mine who was a director. He does a lot of youth theatre work. And he went to a show, I think it was one of his company's shows that he went to, and a couple other directors came up and asked him, and they're saying, yeah, do you not get like your youngsters to do like favours and stuff? And he just went, what? And like they intonated at that sort of, it's fucked up. And I was just like, that's crazy that even, I mean, it's not locally, it's not Fife or anything, but and even in Scotland and UK, that there's people like that are willing to just kind of take a little interest in like what kids are doing and take advantage of that. It really kind of creeps me out in that sense, just this whole industry where people feel the need to just take advantage of people's desire to make something of themselves. It's like, come on man, it's not fair, it's not right. And just because you're in a position of power doesn't make it any less wrong or justifiable. I mean, everyone should be accountable to their actions the same way as anyone else. And I hope this is just the beginning of it. Like, I hope this goes on for as long as it needs to go, and I hope it doesn't get quiet anytime soon. Like, the other day, that was a lawyer coming out with women who had more accusations about Weinstein. Like, I don't think this, in terms of Weinstein, until it goes to a courtroom, I can't really say he's really been punished. Like, he's made his millions.
Yeah,
he could go.
He's away at a luxury retreat in Mexico, being treated for sex addiction. That's the problem. He's a sex addict.
Well, put it this way: he could buy an island and just stay there for the rest of his days, and he wouldn't care a bit bunch, unless he gets put to court and sued the fuck out of him,
and jailed. And
where's the justice? Yeah. You know. So hopefully that's the case. So,
It's a proper.
That was a cheery news story.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Oh, other thing I was going to bring up about James Corden. While we've got on that subject, he came up with that really piss joke about.
Oh, what did he say? No, I saw headlines saying, he apologised that he misjudged the feeling of the room. But what was it he said?
He just apologised for being a poor excuse for a comedian.
It was just
he made a joke.
They're bad jokes, shit jokes. And you know what? I don't understand what James Corden is. Like, why the fuck is he?
The Americans love him.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
I just don't.
Apparently, he did a carpool karaoke recently with the Foo Fighters, and they got really angry because it took like all day.
And he made them sing their own songs.
He made them sing their own songs. They're like, we don't want to sing our own songs. This is weird.
Yeah. But yeah, it was. Someone had put up a line about, I think you want to guess who it was, like, if he could, he would have a selfie with Hitler just to get the attention. Was that what it was or something like that?
He said that about Weinstein?
No, he said that about Corden.
Oh, right. Okay,
it was like, is that all about attention, that he would just get a selfie with Hitler?
But that's it. Like, I've seen an interview with him where he said that the only thing that matters to him is staying relevant. Like,
but you never were relevant in the first place.
It's like, I just don't get it.
Although, I'm sorry, I do have to give him a shout, kudos for Gavin and Stacey. I loved Gavin and Stacey. No!
I liked it as well.
Him and Ruth Jones, was that her name? Yeah. They co-wrote that. It was very funny.
And he won a what's it called? Is it Olivier, the theatre?
Yeah,
Olivier.
Was that for the History Boys? Was that his first thing that he did?
No, it wasn't for the History Boys.
That
was
a film.
For One Man.
No, it was a play, first of all.
It was something like One Man and His Gaffer, or right. One Man is
Governor.
His Gaffer.
Governor. Governor, that was it. Aye. No. Anyway. James Corden.
Yeah.
Lizzie fancies him, but she always used to. She had this big thing for Smithy when he was in.
You can do better, Lizzie. God.
Any other stories, Jamie?
No.
No.
Fair enough.
Just sitting on your phone because we're too boring.
I might have been researching my Fight Club. I hadn't done that because I was playing Overwatch all day.
Jamie looking at his Fight Club as if he's on the school bus doing homework that was due at 9 o'clock that morning.
It's like you knew me back then, James.
Ah, we all done it.
Classic.
Welcome one and all back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided nonagon for another fantasy fight club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you're not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. Let's get ready to
Rumble!
So, who's got a fight for us? Absolutely nobody. Oh, we've done well this week.
You know what, I'll start. Okay. You know what, I'll start. I've got a humdinger. You know what, this is essentially the Halloween episode, because it's Halloween next week. So, I came up with a cunning tag team fight for you lovely people. So, we've got the kind of olden days horror movie genres, and we've got the kind of late 80s, mid 90s sort of story. So, I thought, what if we paired two from different eras? So, in the blue corner, I'm going to have Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees versus.
Oh, it's a tag team match.
Yeah. Versus Dracula and the Wolfman.
Ooh. This is interesting because, assuming that we're completely real.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger can also live in nightmares.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go early on this and say whoever wins, even if you win, Freddy Krueger will haunt you in your nightmares for the rest of your life. So you're fucked anyway.
Krueger wins.
Yeah.
Well, if we have it in the confines of like 12 rounds.
No,
well. That's no. Come on now.
I don't know anything about any of these people.
You don't know anything
Freddy
about...
Freddy Krueger's the guy with claw hands, like knife hands.
Wait, you don't even know anything about Dracula?
Well,
He's a vampire!
I know that it was written by Bram Stoker, who was actually Irish, not Romanian.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but
I've been to Transylvania.
Based on Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah. But that's... I don't know who those other people are that you said.
Ah. Not even the Wolfman?
Is he a man that's a wolf?
Yeah, he's a werewolf.
Jack Nicholson.
Pretty much it.
Okay.
Or have you...
Barden? Did he play?
Is it a film?
Or was it? No. What was
it's
it?
Been, it's a film that's been remade every 30 years, basically, yeah. For like a century. So,
as you see, if you've learned already, James, when you do a Fight Club with me, I know nothing about films. We didn't have a video player until I was about 14 growing up, and our telly, you had to turn the button to tune it into the different channels. So I've missed all the pop culture film references of our youth.
See, I would accept that as an excuse, but this is 2017 and Google's about.
Also, I have a problem with films because you have to be quiet for an hour and a half.
Sounds like Beatles really about.
No, I've always had an issue with being quiet for the duration of a film, so it has to be a really good film for me to watch it.
I suppose, like, if going back to the fight, I suppose if you're going to go from like a stamina point of view, Freddy Krueger and Jason's got quite a bit of length on them. You don't really see Jason go down for the count.
No.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's the thing. No matter what you do to Jason,
he just gets back up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a fighter who's similar, but
do you think? Wait, are we talking about
the Korean
Jason
zombie
Orange
of horror films,
or Jason and the Argonauts, or no. Which Jason are we talking about?
The hockey mask Donovan. And machete. He's
Jason up. Donovan.
Jason Donovan.
Jason Donovan's one of my favourite Jasons. Yeah.
Imagine throwing him into that mosh pit. Okay. Holy moly!
See, I was thinking,
but he wears a hockey mask and has a machete and kills people. Would basically.
What's happened to Jason Donovan?
The years of not being kind
oh
to Jason Donovan.
Oh my god! I know he had a drug problem, but really?
Yeah, that stab to the chest is especially for you.
What I was thinking is Freddy Krueger's like long fingernail knife things, yeah. Would they work like a
eye poke? So like illegal under
no, like a stake.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe
no, because it's got to be Jack. It's got to be wooden, is it not?
It does.
Wooden or silver.
I've got a question about the vampire because this will change. Yeah. Is it like Nosferatu vampire? Because it's an old vampire.
Or are we talking Blade rules or Buffy rules?
Yeah,
you know what? Let's go Buffy rules. That probably
Buffy rules. Let's make it interesting.
Rules.
So then it's pretty much anything sharp.
Yeah,
yeah. Silver. They don't like silver in Buffy as well. Yeah, so if the blades were made of silver,
right.
Then
straight through the heart. And you're to blame.
Yeah.
Dust a bad
I'm actually going to take, because Dracula and Buffy can turn into a bat.
Yeah.
In one episode.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So I'm going to say whatever team, the werewolf man, he'll be keeping them busy. Well, Dracula will turn into a bat, go behind them, and then suck their blood.
Oh,
kill
them.
That's a good one. Because he'll try punching, he'll just turn into a bat and be behind them.
Does Freddy Krueger have blood?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
That's a good point.
Or does he turn them?
He has super strength, so he can just rip them in half.
Does he turn them?
Oh, he could turn them.
Yeah.
And then he's take the whole stadium.
Yeah.
That'll be a turn.
Huh.
That's my answer.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm going as well. It would be Dracula.
Max. And then sucks Freddy Krueger's blood. Krueger turns heel and takes out Voorhees. That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah. Max?
I abstain.
Oh,
like, I genuinely don't have a clue what he's on about. Sorry.
Well, I was surprised how quick this fight went down. I was really thinking of that point of view. So I'm going to go with you guys. I think Dracula and the Wolfman might have this one at the cage.
Nice. And I think, well, Wolfman would probably, that would be the start to the
although that being said,
vampire liking war.
Oh god damn it! I knew you were gonna
Kate Beckinsale would.
They're such bad films. The first one's okay. The rest are terrible.
Although that being said, if like one of them came up with a tennis ball, you know the game's over, isn't it? You're like, dear boy, fetch.
I was just gonna say that.
It was one or two.
I know nothing about these people, but I always vote for dogs. Any team that has a dog on it wins.
So vampire
Wolfman definitely gets my vote.
There we go. Yeah. Unanimous.
Cool. I've got one for you. You know, it's kind of on a similar theme of, you know, Halloween, of nightmares and horrors. It's the Battle of the Hollywood Toms. Tom Cruise versus Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's a good one, because they're a similar era, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they peaked in the early 90s. And have just kind of faded away a bit since then.
Talking about faded away.
See, Tom Cruise is quite like...
They're both very powerful men in Hollywood these days.
Yeah, well...
Well, is Tom Cruise as powerful as he likes to think?
I think he is.
I don't know, that mummy film.
I got the feeling that he was a bit of a laughingstock these days and was just putting all his attention into Scientology.
No, I think he's still got a lot of sway. I think
they're not powerful enough to save the Mummy movie at the box office. What are you talking? No, fuck you.
I think that was just a terrible film.
Yeah, that Dark Universe is.
But that's why
done.
He was in it. Because we're like, oh, put Tom Cruise in it. Well, it
did. And how they started it all off with the new logo for the Dark Universe, this new multi-film universe that we're going to do, where it was all the sort of the old Hammer horror and everything like that. And yeah, basically, it's dead already. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Is it actually Tom Cruise versus Tom Hanks? Or is it Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks, like Shang Tsung and Mortal Kombat, constantly morphing into different characters that they've played in films?
Yes. Yes.
Entirely.
That Brilliant. Is it. Because they've probably got about the same sort of like roster.
I don't know. Like, Tom Cruise is usually a quick starter, very fast paced, action packed, whereas Tom Hanks has a little bit more staying power. He can last a bit longer, you know?
I think Tom Hanks is a lover, not a fighter.
Especially
as Forrest Gump. We've done a Forrest Gump fight once before, did we not?
Although, Saving Private Ryan, he does take care of business in that.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen that one.
And, you've got mail. He's always...
Lover, not a fighter, though. You've got mail.
I haven't thought about that film in a long time.
You've Got Mail, the Sleepless in Seattle sequel, or redo.
I make email sexy.
Whatever he does, he has to avoid being Woody from Toy Story. Tom Cruise could just go, Andy's coming, and he stops, and that just leaves him wide open.
That was the first internet dating film.
Yeah.
Major one, anyway.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
What other ones have you seen since then?
None.
It sparked off a huge genre. I can't remember the last time I saw either of them in a film, to be honest.
Well, there's
I'm thinking Maverick versus his character from Big.
See, I was going to say there's a distinct height. There's already a distinct height advantage because Tom Hanks made a wish to a machine gypsy and turned big.
That is true. We have to consider that, first of all, Tom Cruise has never made a bad sci-fi film. I don't think The Mummy's sci-fi technically.
No. War of the Worlds.
That was good. I'll defend that film.
Yeah, no, I like that film.
I'll defend it.
Do you think it was good?
Yeah. I do. I actually do.
I think that's a real good film.
But apart from that, he's also like a really good climber. Like genuinely a great climber and like quite fit and does a lot, not all his own stunts, but he does a lot.
He's like almost 60.
That scene from Mission Impossible 2, he's just like hanging by his fingers and he just goes, yep, I'm just going to fall up here, no brother.
He did that as well.
Yeah, he did.
Like without a net, and the director was losing his shit. The producers were like, if he dies, we're going to get sued to forever. But he's got this sort of physical fitness about him, and he's got a lot of crazy self-belief because he's a Scientologist. Yeah. He's mental.
Whereas Tom Hanks is a bit of a rounder, portly old man these days. I
always imagine Tom Hanks hanging out with Morgan Freeman on a porch.
He's growing old a bit more gracefully than Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Although I have that thing where the whole Philip Schofield thing about Tom Hanks, I think there's something. He's too good. Too golden, the golden boy of Hollywood. I think there's some skeleton.
He's the next Weinstein.
I don't want to. Oh, it's going to be something. It's not going to be. It's going to be something weird.
Yeah,
something weird. Schofield. Like, I'm talking about. I don't want to. Fucking weird.
I don't want to go back to Gordon the Gopher. That was some dark places we went to.
It's something like that, though. I think Schofield's got something dark.
What was that film we done with the dog? K9.
No, it was Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. Yeah. Oh God, can you imagine?
Yeah.
So I'm calling it.
Okay.
And I'm gonna take Cruise.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna go for Cruise as well.
I can't back a Scientologist, I'm afraid. And I find Tom Cruise creeps me out. Like, actually, I think if anything, I'm the other way. I think Tom Hanks is a nice, like, cuddly granddad figure these days, and would actually be, you know, he'd give you a nice hug. Whereas Tom Cruise would like try and make you do a personality test, and then after he'd shake your hand, I bet he carries around hand sanitizer with him all the time to like sterilize himself after he's touched you. So yeah, I'm sorry, just on a matter of principle, I'm going Hanks.
I'm gonna ask a question though, right? If we're talking about him morphing into characters, and they were morphing into sort of like similar characters,
right?
Yeah, Ethan Hunt versus Robert Langford.
Robert Langford? What was that?
Inferno. Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code.
You'd have to give it to Ethan.
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah. Because Ethan Hunt wouldn't give you anywhere near as much exposition while running.
Exactly. And he'd just tell you what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd know what he's about to do every second. Yeah.
Whereas, Robert Langford will run away from everything while given massive amounts of plot.
Inferno was so bad.
Although, I think I'm going to go with Mags on this one. I think, as you say, there must be something hidden behind Tom Hanks that we don't know about, and he is a cunning man. He's got all the experience known to man. I think he's got enough in the tank to take out Tom Cruise.
Stop trying to mend bridges with Mags. We know you hate
it's okay. He's getting there.
It was either that or the rap battle, Jamie, and I've got no rhymes to give.
I'm a hip-hop bottomless man. Lyrics are bottomless.
Dropping off the top of his esophagus, glowing like phosphorus.
No, mine's was a Flight of the Conchords lyric.
That's the rest of it. That's the rest of it.
You're meant to then wait for ages, because after you say my lyrics are bottomless, you then forget your what. You've just ruined my one rap battle line that I had. You ruined it, baby. Right, moving on. Do you want to hear my battle?
Yeah, let's go.
A bit tired, but I thought one earlier on. So, we were watching Bake Off last night, and then afterwards an advert for the new Nigella Lawson cookery programme came on. And I never knew that my lovely boyfriend was so into cookery programmes. He's got very excited that there's a new Nigella Lawson cookery programme coming on. And he's promised me he's going to watch all the Nigella Lawson cookery programmes. But I can't watch them with him because he's going to learn secret dinners that he's thinking of cooking. So that made me think about...
chicken.
Guys really do love Nigella Lawson, don't they? Like, it's a bit of an obsessive thing, so I thought I would pitch Nigella Lawson.
Anyway.
just walk into the room and say, how was your evening? He just looks at you with a look of guilt and shame.
Got to kick me dinners on the back of it. He's not allowed to just watch it without getting recipe ideas.
Sweaty palms.
Anyway, honestly, I'm going to pitch her against another slightly buxom, shall we say, TV totty, but Tory TV totty, but I believe some men feel similarly about her, which is Kirsty Allsopp.
Oh, no.
No, I thought they were sort of...
How dare you.
Yeah, I could see that being an interesting...
Yeah, I think that there are... I think maybe it's a bit more of the UKIP brigade. But I think Kirsty also does for the UKIP brigade what Nigella Lawson does for
everyone else.
So that's my two domestic goddesses with massive chebs. It's the theme for the fight, Nigella Lawson versus Kirsty also.
I can't get over that. Like, you know, everybody likes somebody. But I can't believe that she's like, loads of people really fancy her?
Kirsty also?
Yeah. You can imagine there being like a Tory.
she looks like a right bunny boiler though. Why would you even want to deal with that?
I don't know about that.
She's got a bit of a mummy will look after you type thing about her.
She's too posh, she's too Tory, too...
Mm. Too posh, but thinks she should teach people how to live on a shoestring. Fuck her. Fuck her, fuck Jamie Oliver, fuck them all.
You don't know what a shoestring is.
So what about Nigella?
Nigella, she would win it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, Nigella would be coked out her face as well, so...
Why do guys fancy Nigella so much?
I don't know.
Is it that she would feed you cake and then have sex with you?
Well, I don't know about that.
No. It wouldn't be cake. It would be really nice Italian food.
Yeah. And cake.
And she would make you a sandwich, but a proper gourmet sandwich. You know,
I think it all comes
three
down
layers
to,
and shit. That'd be amazing.
I think it all comes down to the way that the shows are filmed.
Yeah, because it's so brazen, isn't it?
Like, it is. It's eyes, tits, mouth, tits, eyes, mouth, 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 tits, eyes, eyes, mouth, tits. Thing that she's cooking, tits, mouth, eyes.
That is
social gathering.
Social gathering. Tits, mouth, eyes, eyes, arse. It's very blatant.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing, though. Nigella has friends. Like, when do you see Kirsty with friends in a show?
Phil, yeah.
Phil,
one friend.
And we're rotating, rotating friends every week on location, location. That
yeah, our new friends that she tries to find a house for, but they always hate it. Yeah. Stuff. There's a bit of sexual tension with Kirsty and Phil, though. Like, that's part of the appeal of totally. Location, location, location.
People are watching just for that one day when they just like, burst open a room. And camera walks in and there they are at it.
See, I'm thinking about this, and I actually think, I think Kirsty might have a strength advantage. Just in my head, I think that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think she would. I think she's possibly a more emotionally stable person as well.
Well, she would also call on the power of Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
She would. That'd be like her power-up.
Yeah.
Special move. The milk snatcher.
Yeah. And Delia's not...
No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to... I didn't finish it. You don't know what I was going to say.
I was going to say, Delia's not dead, so, like, you know, Jella can't really call on her power. Although she could call on Fanny Craddock.
Who's the American one, late woman who went to jail?
Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
No, you don't mess with Martha Stewart.
Don't mess with Martha. Bitch.
She's the Weinstein of the cooking world.
I think that
it was only tax problems that she went to jail for. It wasn't anything
else.
She'll
probably.
I am not saying anything on record that could possibly lead to Martha Stewart suing us.
Allegedly. So, yeah, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, and...
The machine blew its load whilst we were talking about Nigella.
Yeah, so...
Quite rightly so.
Yeah, it didn't really miss very much. So what we're going to do is just call it for Nigella and move on. So, Jamie, you've got a quick fight for us.
Yeah, so just a little bit of background. This week I've been listening to Mesopotamian legends... in audio format while I've been doing other stuff like housework or playing games because I'm cool like that. And so I found this guy, I found a load of channels, but I knew they were mispronouncing some of the things and it pissed me off, like some of the names. So I was like, oh, no, can't listen to that. So then I found a British guy who was doing it called Sargon of Akkad. And I was like, oh, cool, because Sargon's the founding father of like Akkadian dynasties. Okay. So yeah, listened to it all week. I've been giving them money through adverts. And then I went, oh, he's got another channel. Go see what it is. Turns out he's a massive alt-right misogynist who has a separate channel where he does recitations of ancient literature. So my fight this week is Sargon of Akkad, the right-wing libertarian who's a British sort of podgy guy, pale shit, with an army of the guys from... Charlottesville behind him.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right. Guys are tiki torches.
Right, back in, right. Okay.
Versus the actual Sargon of Akkad, who was the first king of the Akkadian Empire, or one of the first kings of the Akkadian Empire, who actually fucked over loads of cities, invaded lots of places, and has an actual army behind him.
Wait, so we're trying to decide who the biggest dick is. Is that what we're trying to say here?
Is the actual Sargon of Akkad also a massive racist?
Probably.
They mostly were back in the day, didn't they?
No. Well, attitudes to race changed quite a lot for a time.
Really? Did they have slaves in Mesopotamia? Did they take
definitely had slaves.
Yeah.
But it wasn't based on race. It was just you were a slave.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to say it wasn't based on, because the history of Mesopotamia is so huge, but the primary thing about it was, especially if they invade somewhere, they're like, oh, you're from somewhere else. This is like city-states.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, now you're our slaves.
So they hate everybody.
Aye.
Not just people who are a different colour to them.
Yeah.
It's a bit like being from Fife, isn't it? I know that we're
Fife. He's actually maybe, Sargon might be the basis for Moses.
Oh.
Because it was a Semitic language, but he was also born in putting the reeds in a basket, put down the river. Yeah. But that appears a lot in a lot of these tales.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's probably more likely it's just...
Hang on a minute. Are we talking about the Mesopotamian guy or the YouTube guy here? That's the basis for Moses.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Mesopotamian guy. Aye.
See, I'm a pro wrestling guy, so I have to try and apply a logic of babyface and heel. Like, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy?
The heel's a libertarian. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Right, so we're going that route, right? That helps me out, because I was struggling to figure out who is the good guy in this one.
Akkad's like the Undertaker. He's just fucking badass. He just did what he did. He didn't give a fuck.
All right. Okay, then. I'll take that one.
I would imagine that the real Mesopotamian guy had some pretty brutal weapons and torture methods behind him. I'm whereas the alt-right at Charlottesville just haven't had sex for a long time.
I suppose the real one's got the numbers as well.
Yeah.
Like the alt-right's going to be quite small and metallic.
If he's sacking cities, then he'll just finish them.
I really just want an excuse to imagine killed loads of fascists. It was great.
Yeah.
We'll back up on that one.
Yeah, I think that's done with fascism. Foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So fuck you, Saragon. Even though I've given you all my money now,
my fake unreal internet money.
Yeah.
My time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, wasted your time. Oh.
Well, and next week you can give us an update about your next Mesopotamian story you're listening to. We would be very excited to hear.
And how many
Jamie.
More alt-right people you've given money to unwittingly?
For fuck's sake.
You make it a segment, Jamie Brown's Mesopotamian Moments.
I would love that. But our listeners would hate it.
Oh, wow. That does sound fascinating. Well, I think that brings us to a nice round close today. Jamie, would you like to give us the socials?
Oh, thank fuck. I thought you were going to say a motto, so I don't do a motto. Right, so get us on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, or email us ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Beautiful. And Max, have you thought of anything you're like controversial, misogynist, anything like that?
Oh, I've not been misogynistic enough, have I?
We just did a fight club on Nigella Lawson as well. You had the perfect chance.
I'm sorry, listeners. I just wasn't able to rustle up the level of misogyny that you've come to expect from Mark Penman. But I'm pretty sure I'll be back next week.
Yeah.
So tune in next week and you'll get...
you'll get the misogyny.
All the misogyny.
There we go.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's... Right, it's that time of the night where I have to ask James what is the motto for us this week.
Live, laugh, love, and be aware that you may say passive aggressive things when you're very drunk and holding a microphone.
I forgive you.
And don't leave five.
Tonight.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble.
It's showtime. Fox and the
we thought there was a baby, so we thought there was a cat in work today because we were here seeing something going, and somebody along the corridor brought their baby in to show everybody. Me and Malcolm were like, "Where's the cat in here?"
That's an extra.
There's a cat.